This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Zion is back. Cole Anthony, well, isn't. Inside Carolina just reported he will not play against Virginia Tech tonight at 8 o'clock, which I guess is good. Can't have anybody getting in the way of Z-Day, right? We'll get to Zion and Cole in just a bit. However, let's start with the basketball fight that has shaken America today. In cases like this, just remember, optics drive punishment. Public reaction is everything for Kansas and Kansas State right now. That's why I thought it was the smart decision today for Kansas to indefinitely suspend Silvio De Sousa from its basketball team. That doesn't set a date. It doesn't say he's not going to return to the team like some have said should happen. He very well could return by the end of next week. I strongly doubt that. Maybe the Big 12 is going to step in and hand down further punishment. Who knows? But what I've come to learn in cases such as this one, optics, they are going to drive whatever punishment is handed down. The timing of this fight is key. It was a Tuesday night, right before the slowest news day in the week. Everybody in the business knows Wednesday, that's when stuff gets thrown against the wall. That's when you see, hey, let's have our way too early Super Bowl predictions for 2021. Because that'll be a lot of fun. Let's start talking about the NBA Finals. Who's going to meet once KD is healthy with Brooklyn? Let's do that. I actually saw that a couple of Wednesdays ago and just thought, man, slow news day. There's no football this weekend for the first time since August. So it is red meat today. You have this 24-hour sports media cycle that needs to be fueled, and college basketball came through. That's why everybody's talking about this today. If Kansas, if the same two teams got into a fight the same exact way, Saturday or Sunday night, nobody is talking about it today or Monday morning. Nobody is going to care across the country because everybody is excited for the NFL games that are happening. Let's look at Myles Garrett. Remember when everybody was up in arms about him swinging that helmet at Mason Rudolph? The reason why he was suspended for the remainder of the season was not for the action. It was because it was put in prime time. The optics were bad. Let's not forget, there was a former Texans player a half dozen years ago who took off Richie Incognito's helmet and started waving it at him. Do you know what happened? He didn't get suspended. He was just slapped with a fine. The timing was important. It happened in preseason, not on Thursday night in prime time. Secondly, the teams involved here. Kansas is a power. Lawrence, Allen Fieldhouse, the mecca of college basketball. You're just steps away from the actual rules of the game. The way that Dr. James Naismith wrote them, the pieces of paper he wrote them on, just feet away in Kansas, nationally televised. That's where that happened. If it took place at East Carolina or in Charlotte or even at UNC Greensboro, with all due respect to Wes Miller's program, you're not going to have Dick Vitale wagging his finger at a TV screen telling you how appalling this is for college hoops. You're not going to have Seth Greenberg sitting in a chair saying everybody in the sport is wearing a black eye today if a UNCG Spartan does it versus a Kansas Jayhawk. But it was weird yesterday. I was at Cameron Indoor and I ran into Dick Vitale and Reese Davis before the game. They were getting acquainted with the Cameron Crazies. Then at halftime, I'm watching the end of Wake Forest Clemson. They have two screens in the Duke media room. One had the end of the Clemson-Wake Forest game on. We're all crowded around that. Then you have the raw television feed of what's going on with Duke and Miami, the game we were at. So we get to see some of the talent before they appear on screen getting ready for a segment. Before Dick Vitale went on at halftime and addressed the nation with his thoughts on Kansas, Kansas State, I saw him just fuming. The face was getting red. He was genuinely upset at this, and he let you know it on the TV broadcast. This is how that sounded.
That was ugly. Where were the coaches, the assistants, keeping their team on the bench? That's the first rule. One assistant should take charge and make sure that no one gets there. It is sickening. There's no place in the game. That was almost criminal what DeSosa has done. I'll be shocked if he ever wears a uniform again in a Kansas uniform.
Indefinite suspension for DeSosa. He's a very good player, so Kansas might think, let's see if this blows over in about 2 or 3 weeks. Let's just suspend him indefinitely. Hey, we're going to take this seriously and severely punish him. Then when everybody forgets about this after the Super Bowl, we're talking about the first Duke Carolina game. Let's just slip DeSosa back into the lineup right in time for Kansas to play at K-State. It has been a rough year for Kansas. I don't remember Dick wagging his finger at Snoop Dogg and strippers being out on the floor. Okay, they weren't strippers. They were just, what are we going to call them? Aaron Gabriel here in the studio, the law offices of Timothy D. Wellborn Studios, Robert Walsh producing today's show. Yes, Aaron.
Quality entertainment.
There you go. And you got a gun that propels dollar bills that Snoop Dogg had. It wasn't exactly the greatest look when you consider just a few weeks before that, they were handed a notice of allegations from the NCAA because apparently they handed a bunch of money to players. And one of the players that was alleged to have been given money, you guessed it, Silvio DeSosa, who missed all of last season because of impermissible benefits he received. And then finally, he was ruled eligible for this year, has been a key player for the Jayhawks. But there's still a chance, considering how good Baylor is at the top of the college basketball food chain, that they might not be the Big 12 champ for a second consecutive year. Following a run where they were the champs for about 15 years. Remember, optics drive punishment. That image of DeSosa with the stool in his hand, it's one of the best college basketball photos I've seen in a while.
That's assault, brother.
That's what's going to stick out. Whose voice was that, Robert?
Billy Madison.
Oh.
The Sandman.
Is it assault if you don't hit somebody with the stool?
All the other stuff was assault, not the stool.
Almost don't
count.
Maybe
once the stool was dropped and it hit someone.
Legitimately asking. I don't know for sure. But I made sure to point out, a lot of people were comparing this to Malice in the Palace. If we're talking about Malice in the Palace, one of my favorite aspects of that fight, and this is the opinion that's going to engulf my career one day, and I have no problem with it. As long as nobody gets hurt, I like violence in sports. I do. I'm sorry. Hockey fights, NASCAR, wrecks. I'm fine with basketball players getting after it, even if it spills into the stands. Again, if I know if everybody's going to be okay. The Malice of the Palace, I'll never forget Jamal Tinsley having to be restrained while he goes into the tunnel. And to defend himself, Tinsley is wielding a dustpan. Like, he's wanting to go to war and clean things up with a dustpan. That's an image I'm not going to forget from Malice in the Palace. And I'm not going to forget him holding the stool, even though he did nothing with that stool. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens as this continues. After the game was over, went into the Duke locker room, started talking to some of the guys who played with Zion Williamson ahead of tonight's game, the New Orleans Pelicans. Got to get it right. Still not used to this idea that Zion is playing NBA basketball, excited to have him back in our lives. The Pelicans, 9:30 tip against the San Antonio Spurs. And I thought Coach K would be pretty jazzed up to talk about his former star player. Well, as you're about to hear, that exchange didn't go very well.
With Zion's debut tomorrow, what advice have you given him ahead of the
No, I haven't talked to Zion. Let's talk about Duke. You know, he would want us to talk about Duke.
Yeah. To his point, I think Zion would want it that way. But I struggle to believe that Coach K hasn't at least sent a text or reached out to Zion. It's none of his It's none of our business to figure it out if he has. But Coach K wants to keep it on Duke. Nobody else in that building did, though. There were Zion jerseys all over the place. Zion Duke jerseys. Heck, they had a really good a cappella group that was singing the national anthem, and the leader of the a cappella group was wearing a Zion New Orleans Pelicans jersey. So, it is Z-Day. That's what we're going to be calling this today. Learn about all the ways that Tim Welborn can help you online at timwellborn.com. This show is broadcast live in the law offices of Timothy D. Welborn Studios. Is there what do you think Tim Welborn can help people out with, Robert?
Maybe if you're in an assault case, and actually looked up assault, what it was, in case you wanted to know the legal definition. It's an act of inflicting physical harm or unwanted physical contact, or a threat or attempt to commit such an action.
The law offices of Timothy D. Welborn, you'll know when you need us. Joe Person from The Athletic will join us to talk Panthers in a little less than 20 minutes. Brian Geisinger from ACC Sports Journal will be in studio with us as well. There is one flaw with North Carolina not even Cole Anthony can fix whenever he returns. I'll tell you what that is next on The Drive.
We're now the opposite of the front of sports talk because we're, well, we're back to it. Get it?
Well, that's not funny.
Back to The Drive.
That's moronic.
With Josh Graham.
You would play September the day that the ACC football schedule comes out. This is the one week we don't have football games to talk about on the weekend since August. And you're going to pull out Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's just terrible producing on your part. But we are talking football still. The Chiefs are facing the Niners in Miami at Super Bowl 54. We'll have the broadcast right here on Sports Hub Triad. And somebody who's been working very hard to try and fill in some of the details for the Carolina Panthers' new coaching staff led by Matt Rhule is Joe Person from The Athletic, who's kind enough to spend some time here. Joe, I'm looking at some of the rumors that are out there, where the Panthers might be going with the quarterback's coach. It seems like to me that's the place Matt Rhule might be able to find NFL head coaching experience to add to this staff. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, I reported last week that they had brought in both Mike McCoy, former Chargers coach, and then Ben McAdoo, the former Giants coach, both of whom interviewed last week for that quarterback's job. I don't know if they would get like an assistant head coach title, because they do bring that wealth of experience too. And then and then after McCoy, Scott Linehan was in, the former Rams coach, and then most recently the Dallas Cowboys offense coordinator. So I don't know if there is like a mystery candidate. I mean, I'll be honest, if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm picking up the phone and getting Jim Caldwell in for an interview, but Caldwell might have other opportunities as you hear things around the league.
The funniest story I have regarding Jim Caldwell, last year I was at a Wake Forest basketball game. I ran into Caldwell because, of course, he coached here. And he told me and a couple other people, yeah, I'm going to be getting back into coaching. And I thought he might have been talking about high school locally. I didn't know he was maybe talking about the NFL. I'm like, where are you headed? He goes, Miami. I'm like, wow. What's in Miami? The Dolphins. It felt like a scene in There's Something About Mary where Brett Favre comes in and he tells him that he's in town to play the Dolphins, of course. But taking an eye on some of the other coaches that the Panthers have already hired, you are a William and Mary guy, Joe. And I'm sure you're very excited to go through all the details of Joe Brady's background and find that there are a lot of strong William and Mary roots there. What's the most interesting thing you've learned about the Panthers' new OC and your deep dive that you can find, of course, at The Athletic Carolinas?
Good question. I mean, a lot of the stuff was were things we kind of learned throughout the season from his time at LSU. Couple different things, but both, and I talked to people at William & Mary and at Penn State, where he had 2 years as a GA, prior to him going to the Saints. And he was a guy that they might say, okay, you're a graduate assistant here at Penn State, and we're going to put you as the second wide receiver coach. Well, he would knock on the door of the OC, who at the time was Joe Moorhead, who then later left to go to Mississippi State as the head coach and now just got fired there. But nevertheless, Joe Brady was saying, always, and same thing at William & Mary, like, okay, I'm the linebackers coach in William & Mary's case, but can I sit in on the, you know, linebackers meetings or the secondary meetings? And at Penn State, he did this in New Orleans too. And then it was very clear his offense was his calling card. And he was never a quarterback's coach, but he always seemed to show up in the quarterback's meetings with Drew Brees and Pete Carmichael and Sean Payton in New Orleans. And then at Penn State, as I said, with Joe Moorhead alongside Trace McSorley. And he wanted to know everything about the offense, even as a player at William & Mary. And he wasn't very good or accomplished. He was a walk-on wide out who caught 3 passes over his career. But same thing. He's like, let me learn the whole offense, you know, from soup to nuts, and especially what the quarterback is doing. And it clearly paid dividends to him in a big way, because 6-7 years later, here he is as the NFL's youngest coordinator.
Follow Joe on Twitter, at Joseph Person. Read what Jordan Rodrigue, his colleague, is doing as well. Our good friend from The Athletic as well, covering, of course, the Senior Bowl and all that follows that. A lot of great college players coming out this year with the Panthers picking number 7. But speaking of that Super Bowl in Miami, Chiefs 49ers, I'm struggling to get a read on this, where people are saying, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, this is his first real year as the full-time starting quarterback. This stage might be too big for him, even though last year he didn't play and this team won 4 football games. Now we're seeing them in the Super Bowl when he's in action. So that tells me he's a very valuable piece and a real important part to them being there. They've lost a lot of players during the season to injury, including George Kittle, who is probably his top weapon. They still hummed on just as long as number 10 was under center. On the other side, the Chiefs have gotten behind the last couple weeks, but they've won the games with arguably the best quarterback in the game and one of the most accomplished coaches. When you look at this matchup, where do you lean in terms of who you might like him winning it?
Yeah, you know what? I got to see the 49ers in person this year. It was the Panthers went out there. In fact, the Panthers were playing pretty well when they went out there. You know, Kyle Allen, the league did not have much tape on Kyle Allen yet. But I remember that day at Santa Clara just being struck at just the kind of diversity on offense, the speed with which the 49ers played on offense, and really Kyle Shanahan's talent as a play caller and Jimmy Garoppolo's execution. I mean, they hung. Listen, I know it was the Panthers that would end up only winning 5 games, but, you know, they hung 51 points, I think it was, on an NFL defense, at the time still coached by Ron Rivera, by the way. I left that game just wowed by both Garoppolo and Shanahan, who I really liked in Atlanta prior to that. So, you know, I didn't get to see the Chiefs in person. I've watched them a bunch on TV, just like you and everyone else has, and you can't say enough things about Mahomes. I'm happy for Andy Reid. He's a guy that, you know, has been such a good coach, does not have that Super Bowl win yet. I guess he only went once in Philly. They lost to the Patriots in that game. I think Terrell Owens was playing with, like, a broken leg.
Yeah.
Still playing pretty well.
150 yards in the game.
Yeah, it was a game in Jacksonville. I remember they put a bunch of fans like on cruise ships because they didn't have enough of it. But I don't know. I'd probably lean toward the Chiefs, but you know, I think it's going to be. I hope it's going to be a terrific game.
Joe, really enjoyed your work the last month or so. Continue to crush it, and we look forward to catching up with you at a later date. Thanks for doing this.
All right, buddy. See you, Josh.
You got it. That's Joe Person on Twitter, at Joseph Person. Speaking of that ACC football schedule being put out, I am such a fan of the 9 a.m. schedule release versus the primetime schedule release. The NFL, everything has to be in primetime now. We have all the opponents for the NFL, who teams are going to be playing already. Let's put it in prime time because we will consume anything NFL regardless if there's any content to actually consume. Our addiction to football is that strong that we will watch in prime time a schedule release even though we already know the opponents today. So good on the ACC for the 9 a.m. schedule release. Looking at it a little bit, NC State, they play Wake Forest on Halloween in Raleigh. That should get weird. The first two games going to be tough. We knew NC State was going to play Mississippi State in game two. They're opening up on the road at Louisville. State fans, you should be happy. You don't have to face Clemson in the opener because it had writing on the wall for that being the case. Clemson at Georgia Tech is going to be the first game for the Tigers in their title defense, trying to redeem themselves. That Louisville State game, a Thursday night. Wake Forest, no Thursday games, a pair of Friday games, including that Appalachian State contest. So I can't really look at the schedule and say that anybody has gotten slighted at all. Clemson, they get the week off before they play Notre Dame late in the year. That is significant. Do you think Clemson fans are enjoying the win against Wake Forest last night and celebrating their Big Four championship, even though they're not in the Big Four? They beat NC State, Wake Forest, Duke, and North Carolina this year, of course. And it was a pretty packed arena at Little John, it looked like. I was impressed. It looked like a pretty big crowd there. Do you think they care at all 24 hours removed, or are they all turning the page to football? Okay, let's count down the days until we're in Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game.
For sure. They can't wait to get their face back next year, especially after ETN says he's coming back. You know they're all excited.
ETN's back, Lawrence back, Justin Ross back, Niles Pinckney back, the losing A.J. Terrell, T. Higgins to the draft. Isaiah Simmons, of course, is gone as well. But man, that team is going to be a giant.
And they got a great recruiting class coming in, too.
The number one class.
Yeah. Doesn't get much better than that.
I don't think it does get better than that.
It might, maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah, you have like a 1A and they're 1B.
Oh, gotcha. I'm not sure if that's how recruiting rankings work. Somebody who's very familiar with recruiting rankings is our friend Brian Geisinger from accsports.com. I was at Cameron last night, as was Brian, and I think we might see Duke's rotation go from 10 to 8 very soon. We'll explore that with BG in here next on The Drive.
He also loves to wear itchy clothes, so he has an excuse to scratch himself. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
For sure. Got to watch that. No game for us, so that's perfect. Got to watch D tomorrow night. Definitely think he's going to come out with a bang.
That was Trey Jones talking about his former teammate Zion Williamson making his debut later on tonight, 9:30. It is the Pelicans and the San Antonio Spurs. Brian Geisinger is in studio with us. ACCSports.com is where you know him from, but make sure you listen to him and watch him as well tomorrow with our friend Darren Vaught. They're going to be on the call for High Point Basketball tomorrow night and Saturday, so be sure to tune into that. I think I watched not too long ago you had a chance to broadcast a game with an NBA prospect. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Darren and I, before Christmas, Darren does all the games. I was able to do a couple of the ESPN Plus calls with him before Christmas, including when High Point hosted Valparaiso.
Valpo, that's right.
Valparaiso has a sophomore guard named Javon Freeman Liberty. He's a sophomore out of Chicago and is a very good player. And in terms of just like mid-major prospects, he's very well thought of. A very good two-way player, good NBA range. And yeah, he's a guy you may see playing in the NBA in a couple of years because he's a very much a real player and a real prospect at Valparaiso. We'll see if he finishes his career there too. Sometimes Valpo can occasionally lose some of those guys to a bigger school. But yeah, he's playing with Aaron Gordon for the Rockets. His little brother also plays for Valpo too.
Tomorrow night, it's going to be Gardner Webb, which won the conference a year ago. Tim Kraft got his team to the NCAA tournament, and that's a 7 o'clock tip. And on Saturday, it's a 7 o'clock tip as High Point faces Longwood. Putting that aside for now, in honor of Zion's debut, Robert has pulled movies starting with the letter Z that we're going to play the movie game around. Aaron Gabriel is in to play with us as well. So it is a three-way game here.
All right.
Aaron and BG and myself, let's start the game.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
It's time for some kind of movie game.
All right, all right, all right.
With Josh Graham and
Brian Geisinger.
Show me the money.
Great producing.
Excellent.
I hate this music so much, but I cannot...
Cut How off. Would you describe this music?
Terrible. Awful. I would rather watch or listen. I hate this music. I can't even come up with a good analogy. That's how bad I hate it. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? We're playing the movie game today. All the movies start with the letter Z. We got a new player, Brian, so I'm going to explain the rules to you. All of these movies are scored off Rotten Tomatoes. It is the audience score, and you are trying to get as close as you can. Golf rules, lowest score wins. If you hit the movie on the nose, minus 10 points for you. We're going to go around the horn, as in Josh will go first, followed by you, Brian, and Aaron will be third. And that order will not change, no matter how much Josh asked me for it to change.
I'm also keeping an eye. I'm looking right into your eyes, BG, in the same way for Aaron. Make sure you write down your scores or type it on your laptop ahead of time, because I don't want people basing their scores off of one another. That's not how we play here. So, got to make sure you write the scores down ahead of time. All everybody right. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody's ready. We're going to start off with probably the first movie you thought of when you heard Z. It is a Ben Stiller classic, Zoolander, and I've brought a little audio to jog your memory just a little bit.
Without much further ado, I give you the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
What is this?
A center for ants?
Oh, I need to watch that movie again.
It's great.
That wasn't what I first thought of. I thought of Zorro before I thought of Zoolander.
I thought of Zorro, too.
That was on the outside looking in. All right, so we're going to start with Josh as soon as all you guys have your answers written down.
And we're guessing which score? Audience score?
While I'm thinking about, the audience score. While I'm thinking about what I'm going to write down here. BG, Zoolander, the best Ben Stiller movie? When you think Ben Stiller movies, what comes to mind first?
It's definitely the one that I watched most. So... yeah, perhaps it's underrated and therefore the best Ben Stiller movie. I don't know. He has like kind of a weird career to begin with. It's either this or Meet the Parents, right?
I love the Meet the Parents. I agree with you there.
Yeah, Meet the Fockers is also very good after that. I'm going to go... It's tough to get a gauge on what people grade comedies because humor is one of the most difficult movies to hit on in a universal way. So I'm going to say 67%. I'm going to play it safe a bit.
Josh with 67. Brian, what you got?
See, I think that 67 is a good guess, actually. I was sort of thinking in the mid-60s there, too. I'll say 65.
65. And Aaron, you are the last one in. What you got?
79.
79. 10 away from being nice. You guys, Zoolander comes in at 64.
Oh, BG!
All right.
So you guys are very, very
BG
close.
BG was almost right on the nose there.
Yeah.
By God, just coming out here guns a-blazing.
Yeah, feeling good about it so far.
What is the second movie?
Second movie is another classic. Get a little Woody Harrelson here in Zombieland.
Rule number one for surviving Zombieland, cardio. When the virus struck, for obvious reasons, the first ones to go were the fatties.
It's ridiculous that I have to go first every single time in this.
Hey, that's the way it's set up. You won last week. I don't like repeat offenders, and that's the way the cookie crumbles, my friend.
How bad was the sequel? I didn't want to see it.
The sequel was good. I enjoyed it.
A decade after the fact, putting out a sequel? When does that ever work?
I mean, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at Woody Harrelson. I'm looking at Emma Stone. And they did a great job. It wasn't like a rehash of the original. They kind of just did their own thing in the sequel. It was a good movie.
You guys got your score written now?
Yep.
All right. Number... I got 90. I had to make sure I had the right number now. 91%.
91.
Whoa, I like
going
it.
High.
Brian,
boom, baby.
Brian, what you got?
I'm going 73.
73. Brian is not so sure of this movie. Aaron, what you got? Mm-mm.
I've never seen it, but that sounded terrible. So I'm going with 40.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Wow.
Damn, Aaron.
Zombieland comes in at 91.
Whoa!
I mean, oh! 90.
Oh, no, come on, no! No! You turned that screen around!
It went over.
It's right here, 90.
Oh, it does say 90.
I just wanted to freak Josh out.
That's not cool, man.
You were close.
Oh, come on!
You were close.
All right, you gotta be kidding me.
Your score update after two movies. Josh is in the lead with 4 points. Brian, you are sitting pretty, not too far back with 18. Mm-hmm. And Aaron... That 40 threw you off. You're in the back with 65 points.
Oh, boy. I
suck at this.
With what? You don't suck. You don't suck. Everybody's game at this point. Guys, this last movie, probably my favorite of all the Z movies. It is a classic comedy. We're just going to call it Zach and Miri. Here's a little audio for you.
Excuse me. Can I get a cup of coffee? Black.
Can't you see we talking? White.
Is that Craig Robinson?
That's Craig Robinson.
Yeah. That actually was a really funny movie. It's one of those comedies that just, all right, I don't know how this is going to go. Then you watch it, and it's really good. Like, the 2000s, really good decade for comedies. The next decade, the one that we just had, what's the best comedy we've had? Like, This Is the End? Is that the best we were able to produce? Bridesmaids? The last decade?
Oh, both of those are great.
Yeah, those are good movies.
Right, but then we had that run, though. We had the run of Mean Girls, followed by...
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers. You had Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Zoolander,
yeah.
Dodgeball. All these movies were just tremendous.
I'm sure if I thought on
Hangover.
I'm sure if I thought on it, we could think of some stuff. But stop stalling, Josh. I need your answer. Everybody, have you written your stuff down?
For Zach and Miri. Hoo, yep. Boy.
I'm ready.
Okay, I think I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
I'm going to go with 61%. I don't feel that confident about that, though.
Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm limping into this one here. I'm saying 70.
Aaron.
Swing for the fences here. With a 90%.
90%.
Woo! That was an impressive clip.
Woo! You haven't seen this movie?
No.
Oh, dude, Aaron, great flick. Something that's not so great is there is not going to be a golden movie. In third, you've got Aaron with 130. In second, you got Brian with 23.
What?
And in first, you've got Josh Graham with 8 points.
Yeah! Does that mean what was the score?
Oh, the score comes in at 65. But yeah! I will say this. I had the answers written on a sheet. I'm going to stop your moment of zen. I had the answers written on a sheet on my desk. That sheet disappeared before the show. And I had to rewrite it.
Whoa.
And I don't know where
it
went.
You know where I was the entire day, Robert.
I went outside to smoke a communal cigarette. And when I came back, it was gone.
Sketchy.
Smoke a heater?
So you know what? I will give Josh this. Josh, this is your moment of zen. But I'm watching you, punk.
This is my third straight win. Robert, we did this game for over a year in Greenville, America. How many times did I win in a year?
None.
Zero. Every week, zero. Three straight wins all of that year. It just built roots underneath the ground that we couldn't see. And it's blossomed into this strong and beautiful tree that's just dominating in the movie game now. There you go. BG, you said you're going to bring people over to watch Zion tonight. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's a party at Casa de Geisinger here in Raleigh, and we're going to watch one of our favorite basketball players hopefully do his thing. It's very exciting.
Man, that's a late night. Everybody staying through the second half, too?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Hopefully, minute restrictions doesn't ruin the party at all.
No, there's no load management to watch Zion. That's you gotta be all in on that, you know?
BG, thanks for being here. Have a great call tomorrow night and Saturday. Looking forward to keeping an eye on that.
Will do. Thanks.
So that's Brian Geisinger. Follow him on Twitter at @BGeis_bird. Read his stuff, accsports.com. Coming up, how the NFL draft just got more ridiculous. This is The Drive.
Here comes the life of the party.
The Drive.
Corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children.
With Josh Graham.
Programmed for low expectations.
On Sports Hub Triad.
Woo! You really put it wherever. He'll go get it. So it's actually funny because we didn't. That wasn't the play call. And we just made eye contact when he was running in. And I just put it up there for him. So. Definitely say our chemistry is building.
That was Trey Jones last night describing the lob to Cassius Stanley that Stanley threw down. He has great athleticism. Maybe not the same athleticism the guy in New Orleans playing tonight had for the Blue Devils a year ago. It is Z-Day, Zion Day. 9:30 tip for the Pelicans in Zion's debut against the San Antonio Spurs. Brendan Marks, like me, was at Cameron Indoor Stadium last night for Duke and Miami, playing a little bit of Knuck If You Buck there, Robert. That is an ACC basketball anthem. I'm not sure if you knew that, Robert.
No, it was actually for the fight in Kansas, but either way.
Oh, you were just playing that because that's a common song to get in a fight to? It is probably the song I'm most likely to get into a fight while playing. Like, if I hear that song, it's a strong likelihood I might act the fool, Aaron.
You know, nothing wrong with acting the fool every now and then.
That's what I'm saying. Don't play it at weddings.
I always pictured you getting a fight. I've listened to a Coldplay song after someone said they were terrible.
Yeah, that maybe has happened before. Funny story before we get to Brendan. I actually was at the ACC championship last year in Charlotte, and I told the DJ there, hey, do you have Knuck If You Buck in the computer? He goes, no, I don't. I'm like, well, it would be a pretty big deal if you were able to find it. Just play it at some point during the game. Then right before tip of Florida State Duke, right after they did the starting lineups, that song starts playing. And I look across Media Row, and there's about a dozen people just bopping their head. I thought somebody was going to run out on the floor and get into a fight. Thought it was going to happen. So Greensboro, take notes. This needs to happen both for the ACC tournament and also for the NCAA tournament. We need to make that happen. Brendan, good to have you with us on Twitter at Brendan R. Marks. Read his stuff in the Athletic Carolinas. So when you look at this Duke roster, you and I, we were discussing this right before the start of the game as the players were warming up. How many one and dones do you see on this Duke team? Because I only see two at the moment. I see Cassius and I see Carey. I'm not quite there yet when it comes to the injured Wendell Moore Jr. or Matthew Hurt.
You know, I sort of disagree with you here, Josh, and this is sort of the argument I laid out for you last night. I think we can both agree that Cassius Stanley and Vernon Carey, you know, barring any sort of, you know, horrible injury or something miraculous, are probably only going to be spending another few months in Durham. They've just been too good not to. I think Cassius probably more than anybody else on this roster projects to long-term NBA success, both because of his skill set and because of the way the league overall is trending. But I would say that I'm pretty sure that Matthew Hurt, given the nature of this year's draft class and given the nature of the way that he plays the game, he is sort of, like you said yesterday, almost a creative player as a power forward. I just see that he is going to try and capitalize on a weakened draft class, capitalize on skills that have been showing through much more frequently of late. I see all three of those guys leaving Durham after one season. That doesn't mean it's the right decision. Only time can really tell that, but I think all three of them are probably gone.
Also, the build helps him too. 6'9", can shoot it. I think he just needs to do a little bit more in the next couple of months, and he's going to have the stage of March Madness. He's going to have the stage of Duke, North Carolina at least a couple of times. So that's something that potentially could help him as well. Last night we saw Alex O'Connell check into the game about 6 minutes in, and the first possession he had on the floor after only playing 2 minutes against Louisville, he turns it over and spends 24 seconds in before he gets benched by Coach Gay. Comes back out in the second half, First possession, the team turns it over. Both him and Javon Delorier are then benched. I'm starting to believe this 10-man rotation, it's going to be shortened, and I feel like those are the guys that might see their minutes eaten into. When Wendell Moore Jr. returns, he's going to get playing time. And I feel like Coach K, he prefers Jack White for his versatility and shooting over Javon. And as Herp progresses, I think that also hurts Javon's minutes. What do you say about the rotation of Duke?
I definitely think we're seeing a situation that, you know, so many people sort of predicted before the start of the year. This is just classic K shortening and trimming the lineup. And I think Alex O'Connell was someone who, especially as Joey Baker started to emerge as more of a scoring threat, and now that Matthew Hurt is doing the same thing, what you get from those two guys, you get the same thing that you would get from Alex O'Connell, but I think they offer you a little bit more. And frankly, I think they play a little bit tougher than Alex does. Not that he's not a good player in his own right, but he definitely seems to be the guy who's going to end up on the outside of this minutes bubble that Kay is currently in the process of shrinking. As far as Javon, I'm not quite ready to declare him on the outside yet, just because Vernon Carey's still in the process of sort of reforming his body. Conditioning is something that he has mentioned has been sort of a constant process for him, something he's still working towards. But because of that, I think they need someone with just the physical size that Javon offers. Jack White, for as good as he is and as versatile as he is, I don't think he's somebody who you really want defending some of the true fives in this league. I think that's where you're still going to see Javon getting some minutes. But definitely once Wendell Moore is back, I could see both of those two as the two guys who see the biggest dent in their current play.
Last thing for you, North Carolina playing Virginia Tech tonight, 8 o'clock tip, Inside Carolina, first to report. Cole Anthony is not going to be playing tonight. I'm interested to see if they want to bring him back, say, the next game or two. Why bring him back Saturday just to turn around quickly and play Monday? It almost feels like that the time for Cole Anthony to return would be that game at PNC Arena next Monday. But if Cole comes back, or when I should say, since he made that clear on social media, his mind's already made up, where would you put the talent of this North Carolina roster with Cole Anthony on the team against the ACC's best? Like, where would North Carolina fall with Cole Anthony based on everything we've seen and learned?
I still don't think that they're in the top four. I don't even know if they're in the top six or seven. And I think that's really sort of a testament to everybody else around Cole Anthony. Like, think about how transcendent of a talent he is just singularly. I mean, he can score seemingly at will. He's capable of scoring on the inside, you know, all different levels. He's got a developing perimeter shot. You know, he's as explosive as anyone in the ACC. I'd argue almost as explosive as anyone in all of college basketball this year. And even with him, UNC was unable to score 80 points in a game. That is about as damning a statistic as you could say, in my opinion, just because even when this guy goes out and puts up 35, you don't have a guarantee that anyone else on the roster was going to be able to put up 20 or 15 even. And I think Garrison Brooks has definitely evolved into more of that guy, and he will definitely benefit from having Cole back out on the floor. He'll have more space to operate underneath. But even with Cole Anthony, this is not a team that is reasonably going to challenge for a top four seed in the ACC. Given what they've already endured, it would take a miraculous, miraculous run for them to make it into the tournament. I still think they can be competitive in the ACC. I think that they have a chance to potentially make some noise in Greensboro. He's that good of a player. But people are starting to get their hopes up about a far-fetched NCAA tournament bid. Even for Cole Anthony, I think that's a little bit of heavy lifting.
Follow Brendan on Twitter at Brendan R. Marks from The Athletic Carolinas. Buddy, appreciate you doing this. I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Always. I'll talk to you soon, Josh.
Yeah, that's Brendan. Brendan Marks covering North Carolina and Duke very closely, but the ACC closely as well. Last night, Cameron was buzzing because it was Zion Day Eve. And you saw a lot of Zion Duke jerseys. Heck, the a cappella national anthem singers. One of the leaders of the group was wearing a Zion Pelicans jersey. Everyone in the Duke locker room was perfectly happy talking about Zion, ready to watch this game tonight. So I go into the media room, and Coach K when I walk in, was talking to a couple media members about the Kansas State brawl when we walked in. He asked us, so there was a brawl that happened? Yeah, you might hear about it. And I knew somebody had to ask the Zion question. I didn't know it was going to be me. I knew somebody had to do it. I mean, it's the biggest story in sports today, tonight. All over ESPN the last week, you got Zion's face in the corner of the screen. They're calling today Z-Day, Zion Day, getting set for the Pelicans and Spurs, and this is the guy who coached them, right? Someone's got to ask that question, but nobody's doing it. So I bit the bullet, and Coach K, he did the rest.
With Zion's debut tomorrow, what advice have you given him ahead of
this
milestone?
No, I haven't talked to Zion. Yeah, let's talk about Duke. You know, he would want us to talk about Duke.
So after the fact, got two or three people coming up to me saying, yeah, good try. Brendan was actually one of those people. Brendan walked right past me and goes, yeah, good effort. Yes,
maybe,
Aaron.
Maybe that's why nobody else asked.
Yeah, they thought it might get shot down. Well, that's fine. You still got to ask.
I could tell you were a little scared to ask it, though. It sounded like you were asking your dad, hey, can my friend stay the night?
Can I just hear the question, not the answer?
Sure.
With Zion's debut tomorrow, what advice have you given him?
My friend,
excuse me?
He's having a sleepover.
Do you?
You want to know, can you possibly maybe let him come over to the house tomorrow?
May I have some more?
Are his parents going to pick him up? Because I'm not taking him home. That's what my mom loved that line. Are his parents coming to pick him up? Because I'm not taking him home.
We used to use the divide and conquer strategy.
We both ask and see who gets it up.
No, you get the soft parent. You go corner the soft parent away from the hard ass. Like, hey, my friend wants to come over today. Is it okay? And they're like, go ask your father. You're like, oh man.
Let's just add this to the number of instances me and Coach K have had over the last, we'll just call it year. Give me another example where things didn't go exactly smoothly.
RJ, Zion, you guys have been raiding the dunks all season long. The reverse, the windmill, starting with you, RJ, how would you rate it out of 1 to 10?
It's 2 points. That's how you...
The one he had today where he took off outside the key on the fast break, I'll give that 1 to 10. I didn't know you was going to dunk that one, bro, for real.
10?
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, let's not talk about rating dunks. Let's talk about the game.
Couple things I remember about that. Darren Vaught was sitting right next to me. And I had my laptop screen. I started typing what they were saying there. I didn't realize there were TV cameras, but that apparently was on SportsCenter as well. And that became a thing after the fact. This guy asked and Coach K shut this reporter down. But Darren is whispering to me as I'm typing, Josh, Coach K is giving you a death stare right now. Don't look. That's what he said. So after the fact, I look at the video, and surely enough, as the next question is being asked, Coach K's eyes are just darting towards me asking that question. But what he didn't know is that all year long, it was a bit in the locker room. Zion didn't like talking about his dunks. So RJ would rate him out of 1 to 10, and he would always lowball him. He would say, like the Clemson dunk where he had the reverse slam, he gave it a 4 or a 5. And Zion was like, a 4? He goes, yeah, man, you didn't even do anything. So he gave it a 10, and you could hear Zion say, a 10, really? Because that was the first time RJ did it all year long, and K wasn't in on the joke, because K's not in the locker room when we're doing the press availability. What else do you have cooked up?
Zion described it as very different, playing at the 5 in the second half. What did you see?
Well, we don't number our guys. Is that what he's saying?
But having him as the big guard and their biggest guy.
What do you want to name it? You can invent something right now. This is your chance. What you say right now might follow him forever. You better not say it. I'll just say that he was one of the 5 players on the court playing mostly inside and guarding their center.
Yeah. Coach K did not want to say that Zion was playing the 5, even though Zion told me. This is what Diddy and Get Him to the Greek called a mind bleep. Right? Zion told me He was uncomfortable playing the five. So I brought that to Kay, and Kay said, we don't number our players because he doesn't want people recruiting against him to say, hey, don't go to Duke because he might make you play the five. And apparently kids don't want to play the five because they want to handle the basketball.
Pretty soon Coach K is going to start huffing at you when you start asking a question.
And let me say this as well. Coach K is actually very good to us, okay? Like, this isn't a thing where me and Coach K are at odds at all.
I don't think he likes you.
No, I mean, he outwardly does our radio show when we go to ACC Operation Basketball. You saw it. You were there. He went out of his way to do our radio show.
I think he's got a heavy bag with your face on it at his house.
I don't think so. But it is hilarious that I still get in my email at least once a week, somebody who claims I'm a Duke homer or I love Duke basketball. Because if that were the case, wouldn't I take this to heart a little bit more, you think? Possibly? I don't know. Let's go to Pep in Greensboro. Real quickly, before we get to take it to the house, give me something on the Carolina Panthers draft. What do you got?
Just wanted to talk a bit about the statement that the gentleman made earlier about trading up to get Tua Tagovailoa. I think that makes absolutely no sense. I think Tua's got more injuries than Cam does. So why would you trade up to get a guy who you already know is injury prone?
If we're gonna trade up,
why not put your hopes on Joe Burrow? I know you don't believe in that because you don't feel like he has enough, I guess, track record to be the, you know, for us to trade up to number one to get him. But why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a good observation to talk about the injury front and compare it to Cam Newton. But I guess the bigger difference would be that Cam Newton is 30 and Tua is 21. And you're banking on potential more than you're banking on the fact that he's going to be a current product right now. All right. It is about that time. Robert, what do you got in Ticket to the House?
What if I told you that you were safer in Winston thanks to a masked vigilante?
Batman's in Winston?
I'm very intrigued. I don't know what this is. It's next on The Drive.
Sports Talk.
Saluting a fellow sportsman.
If you're talking about it.
I'm talking truth.
We're talking about it.
Who are you talking to?
Sports fans everywhere.
This is
Radio.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
However and wherever you listen to today's show, appreciate that. Make sure you're subscribed to the Best Of Podcasts. All you got to do is search The Drive with Josh Graham on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud. And be sure to give it a listen. Tomorrow, we're going to spend plenty of time on Zion's debut, and we'll have a top 10 list. Usually we do that on Wednesdays, but things got mixed up a little bit this given week. But we're not done today, not by a long shot. Robert says that there's a masked vigilante in the triad. And that's where we're headed and Take It to the House.
Past the 15, past the 10, past the 5 for The Drive. We'll take it to the house.
1, 2, 3. Take it to the
house. All right. So it feels like I've piqued your interest here with this masked vigilante. And I can say the same thing for myself. As soon as I read this, I knew that this was going to be my Take It to the House story. I even hid it from you guys because I didn't want it to seep in.
Yeah,
to the
I'm kind of upset about this because usually you help contribute content to this show, and you're saying you're withholding something that we potentially could have used in this show for now.
For sure, because this is the best Take It to the House story I think I've ever had. All right, so the Triad City Beat published a story earlier today about a vigilante named Nightwatch who is patrolling downtown Winston-Salem garbed in some black goggles and all black attire. And first impressions, before I tell you any background on this guy, how does this make you feel?
Man, I'm just thinking about it now. If Batman was a real superhero and we didn't have knowledge about the movies or anything of that sort, would we love Batman? Like, Because the media can spin things to make you think that this guy, oh man, let law enforcement do their job. Don't let Batman kind of like clean up the streets. What kind of anarchy is this? I don't know how to feel about this. What do you think, Aaron?
We'd hate Batman's guts because he's rich.
Well, we wouldn't know if he was rich.
Sure you would. So did you see that Batmobile pull up? Imagine the car payments on a Batmobile every month. What is the insurance on that thing?
Yeah, that's probably a flaw in the system. Do you think he has insurance on it? Like, do you think do you think he has plates?
He's got Geico.
Yeah, do you think it has plates on the back that says Batman?
No way. He had that rocket booster has to come out. But this dude is far away from Batman. And let me tell you why. He has no weapons. He's not out here fighting crime.
Well, neither does Batman.
Well, I mean, Batman has weapons. He has batarangs. He's got them little smoke things he throws down. He's got
not the Christopher Nolan Batman.
Okay, whichever Batman you're talking about. Batman Forever.
Then you're gonna love me.
This guy right here is actually doing some good out in the community. He's fighting homelessness, and he's helping the homeless people of Winston-Salem out because it's near and dear to him. We don't actually know this guy's true identity, which I think is pretty cool. The closest he's come to violence is getting some kids off the top of a parking deck where they were making too much noise. That sounds like Alfred to me. That doesn't sound like Batman. But I do like that.
How is he helping the homeless?
He's just out there, especially when it's cold like this. It says that he's just trying to bring awareness to it first and foremost, and then like bringing food, coats, anything like how it's cold outside, anything like that to help the
homeless.
I'd love
to see him saying, "I'm here to help the homeless." And then one of the homeless people yell out, "Bring me some bleeping food, Batman. How about a coat?"
His name's Nightwatch. Either way, he's doing a great job.
Nightwatch. Sorry.
Nightwatch, not Batman. And that is your Take It to the House story of the day.
Who do you think you are, Nightwatch?
I think Nightwatch needs a supervillain.
Is Aaron Gabriel from the Funk Mob going to be the supervillain that Nightwatch? I want Nightwatch on the radio. Can we do this?
For sure.
Let's guest book Nightwatch. While we're doing that, we're going to watch basketball. Talk to you tomorrow.